Chapter 4. The rest of the week was filled with another round of forgery. This involved one of my expired passports, covering the years 1987 to 1997. There were two pages I had to process through Photoshop to alter names and addresses. The stickiest issue was the passport number, which was unalterable since it was hole punched into the first four pages of the passport, including the cover. The other obvious problem was the number itself, which belonged to Arthur Cathcart, not Alex Rimes. Thus, the utility of this forgery was restricted to situations where they'd either ignore the number or be unlikely to go to the trouble of checking its validity. That put a big burden on the final forgery, Alex's Social Security card. Fortunately, I'd held on to my very first one, issued in 1983, before the days of Photoshop, Homeland Security, and international databases. It was a quaint little slip of paper that fit in your wallet. A manifestly stupid thing to do, but that's what they did in those days. This time it only took me a day and night to recreate a new card with Alex's number. It was a much simpler job, and I was getting more proficient with the computer. The next day I took the train to Hartford, then a cab to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Wethersfield. There were DMV locations closer to Stamford, but I didn't want to risk someone recognizing Jerry's address at the old clock factory complex. I'd left the cane behind to avoid messy questions about my ability to drive, so it wasn't a painless trip, though pain wasn't an unfamiliar companion, cane or not. The train ride gave me a chance to collect myself and frame how I thought the experience might go. It was impossible to fully anticipate every contingency. I was confident that my forgeries looked legitimate. Based on documents from an earlier pre-9/11 era, they were relatively simple to manipulate.